Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Extreme automation and the rise of the robots. But first, this week, China's President Xi Jinping is on quite the little tour. Let's hop on board and we'll grab it from GulfNews.com. Saudi Arabia and China sign MOU to build nuclear reactor. Saudi Arabia oil giant Saudi Aramco and China's Sinopec on Tuesday signed a framework agreement for strategic cooperation, this coming from the Saudi state news agency. They also reported that Saudi Arabia and China signed a memorandum of understanding, that's the MOU, to build a high-energy nuclear reactor that would use gas for cooling. The agency said the agreement was one of 14 agreements and memoranda of understanding signed between Saudi Arabia and China on the first day of a state visit by Chinese President Xi Jinping to Riyadh. He's also visiting Iran and Egypt on this tour, which runs from January 19th, a couple of days ago, till January the 23rd, a couple of days after you'll be watching this. So the report gave no further details. The deal is estimated to be worth around $1.5 billion, although final valuations, assets, and stakes were subject to change. Then China offers support for the Yemen government as she visits Saudi Arabia. James, I think that would maybe require its own entire episode breaking down and figuring out exactly what's been going on between Saudi Arabia and Yemen. But China is there as well, kind of offering support to both sides in some ways. Meanwhile, they're opening a refinery as well with Saudi Arabia, James. But then we're off to Egypt, where they get $1 billion from China. This from Africa News. $1 billion, that's a loan. It's always a loan. It's no gimmies. From China this week to help shore its foreign reserves. The two countries, Egypt and China, anticipated to sign agreements extending $1.8 billion U.S. dollars in loans during Jinping's first visit to Africa this year. And it's being called of historic significance, James. But as he's traveling all around, the one thing that really jumped out at me, and I'm really interested in this strange sphere that Jinping unveiled at the coming out party for the new Asia Infrastructure Investment Bank, or AIIB. I believe this ceremony happened right before Jinping went on this big tour. And so it's very interesting to see the president of China bowing to this Death Star-like sphere at this new bank opening ceremony. James, the financial sculpture is in your court, if you will.
Well, have you ever heard of Arnaldo Pomodoro?
Not off the top of my head.
He's this Italian artist. His thing was spheres within spheres, and he did a bunch of them. And they're at the Vatican, they're at the United Nations. There was one outside the Berkeley Library on the campus of Trinity College, Dublin, where I went for my master's degree. So they're all over. It looks something like that. But he's dead, so I'm assuming it's not his. But anyway, something along those lines. But it is Death Star-ish, isn't it? And interesting.
I couldn't find any artist information. All I could ever find were just sort of the captions of, here's the sculpture that they unveiled.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen who it was by either. But anyway, that being what it is, perhaps appropriate that the Death Star is being unveiled as the AIIB is being unveiled because, wait, who did they announce as their president? Oh, that's right, Jin Lee Chung, who just happened to be the former vice president of the ADB, the Asian Development Bank, i.e. the Japanese-led U.S. proxy rival to the AIIB. Rival. And he's also an alternative executive director for the World Bank, another rival of the AIIB, right, guys? Yeah, BRICS are going to save the day. So just another part of the same, well, Davos man, transnational class. We'll come back to that in a minute. But this Xi Jinping tour, Middle East, North Africa, I think extremely interesting because it's part of something that I've been talking about for a while, which is the wooing of Saudi Arabia out from under the American military umbrella and towards China, where their bread is buttered for the future, presumably, all things being equal. So I think that's extremely interesting. And you're right, the Yemen story would require its own video, I think, all to itself, because my understanding is China is supporting the Yemen government, which isn't even in control of its capital city anymore, which is fighting the Iran-allied militia that has taken over the capital. So they're on the side of Saudi Arabia in Yemen, which is bombing Yemen to smithereens and killing all sorts of people with American backing and Chinese backing. So everyone's on Saudi's side in that because they're all trying to woo the oil sultans, even though oil's in a glut. Very big mess. But the point of this is China is flexing its geopolitical muscles right now, which is an extension of its economic growth. And again, it's all 2D geopolitics, because as we see, it's the same puppet financier puppeteers puppeting the strings of these institutions.
So is in some ways, James, as we begin to move to our second story, it flows quite well this week. In some ways, is China on tour and flexing muscle sort of the Eastern version of what we see on display as sort of the Western version of Davos right now? Is that fair?
Well, I mean, it's somewhere in the same universe as that anyway. But I think, yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be a difference, an inflection difference, as the Eastern block starts to flex its muscle. And it's going to be less about the barrel of the gun, but it's not going to be any kinder or gentler. It's still going to be for the benefit of the very, very few at the top.
So we'll leave that tour and ski off to a Switzerland resort, James. Davos robot eclipses Davos man as gloom descends on elite. That's Bloomberg's headline. First there was Davos man and then Davos woman. Get ready for Davos robot. Facebook's Sheryl Sandberg, JP Morgan Chase's Jamie Dimon, and Alibaba's Jack Ma will share the spotlight with a prize-winning South Korean robot called Hubo at the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum this week in the Swiss ski resort. It's a presence they'll have to get used to. The adult-sized automaton, which can climb stairs and enter and exit a car, will be a star attraction at the conference. It illustrates a looming challenge for the 2,500 elite delegates: how to protect their companies and jobs by harnessing advances in artificial intelligence and robotics without exacerbating the economic frustration and populist discord spreading around the globe. Quote, if some of the predictions about tech and employment come true, then we should all be worried, said Alan Winfield, a professor specializing in robotics at the University of the West of England, who was speaking in Davos. There need to be solutions, he said. Jostling with robots for the attention of the assembled executives, bankers, politicians, and economists will be the slowdown in China and resulting tremors in financial markets, the renewed burst of geopolitical tensions from North Korea to Saudi Arabia, Europe's migration crisis, and the U.S. presidential ambitions of Donald Trump. All will shape conversations in the fabled Belvedere Hotel and other venues, which over the past four decades have become the focal point for the world economy one week every January. Stardust will be spread by the likes of Leonardo DiCaprio, Kevin Spacey, and Will.i.am, all huge globalist shills that never miss a chance to fly a private jet off to a global warming concert or give lip service when they're getting awards on TV to the indigenous people. But I think you see, when the rubber meets the road, Leonardo DiCaprio goes and hangs out with the banksters at Davos. So, James, I actually talked a little bit about this earlier this week on my new morning show, shameless plug, about a Financial Times article that goes into this UBS report, the Swiss bank, that's sort of almost the centerpiece of this Davos 2016. And the Financial Times article is called Rise of the Robots. And this big PDF, and I had to click and click and dig for you, but we will include it in the show notes, as we always do, everything that we include on these New World Next Week episodes. The UBS report in PDF is called Extreme Automation and Connectivity: The Global, Regional, and Investment Implications of the Fourth Industrial Revolution. So, James, it sounds like it's a presence they want us to get used to, not really the middle managers of Slave Co. So the banksters are chilling with celebs, and right here the markets are in turmoil, James. And it seems to me, what I noticed was, ever since China's markets went wonky a week or so ago with technical difficulties, ever since then, everything's been pretty shaky. And over the course of the previous weekends, it went from bad to worse. And in a lot of ways, this is what your recent Rise of the Oligarchs documentary is about in some ways, James. So we're talking about Davos robots, but we're also talking about financial destruction behind it.
Yeah, and I think that might be part of what's being obscured by what's going on in Davos right now, is the things crashing down around them. But just for people who don't know, the term Davos man was coined by our old friend Samuel P. Clash of Civilizations Huntington a few years ago to talk about this new transnational class that is, you know, that is affected more by the world economy than by any particular national economy. So these are the transnational actors, the super gophers, the super class that that Rothkopf was writing about a few years ago. It's this idea that they're now openly talking about that used to be the conspiracy theory, right? Oh, you think there are internationalists working towards an international framework for governance of the whole world? Oh, you're crazy. Except for, you know, Davos Man and Superclass and all of these open admissions of it. But unfortunately, I think this idea of automation, the robot man replacing Davos Man, is one of the topics that I cannot find anything to be fundamentally optimistic about, given the way the international economy is structured. Because unfortunately, I think the endgame of this automation process, which is ongoing and is going to start accelerating exponentially in the next several years and start causing millions and millions of job losses, is that Kissinger and his ilk, who call us useless eaters, are not going to find any reason to keep us around if we are not even being economically useful in any way. And that's where we get into the Brzezinski idea, it's easier to kill a million people than control a million people. So I really think this is where the depopulation agenda comes in, and what the next decade or two is going to be bringing about a massive displacement, the likes of which we've never seen, which is the perfect opportunity for them to bring about depopulation in the way that they've been writing about for decades and decades and decades. So very, 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 very worrying. But hey, that's worrying for the next decade or two. How about worrying for this year? The economic collapse, as you say, taking place as they're meeting. And yes, of course, we all know Davos is a bit of a sideshow. 2,500 and elite don't tend to go together. The real action happens at the Trilateral Group and the Bilderberg Group and all of the other meetings of central bankers and the like that we never even hear about. So Davos is really just the media sideshow, but it's kind of funny, I guess, in a way, that they're talking about steering the international economy when it is coming off the cliff right now. Not as a result, I think, of the Chinese stock market, but fundamentally as a result of the Fed rate hike last month and the end of the QE heroin binge. So strap in, folks. It's going to be one hell of a ride this year. And even the Royal Bank of Scotland is saying it's going to be a cataclysm and sell everything. They're really telling people that. So it's going to be fun. And not fun for most of humanity, but fun to watch. Hey.
Yeah. As long as the satellites are still up and the power still works, we can kind of analyze it here and talk about it. Futures plunge, Japan enters bear market, crude and commodity currencies crash. We've got that and a couple of other articles related to not only what we just talked about, the situation in Davos, but the situation in the markets as well, which of course changed so rapidly that we'll only include a scant bit because they will be olds by the time we would include them here as news for you. Our final story this week on episode 256 of New World Next Week. Is it good news? I don't know. People trust search engines more than traditional media for news. And we'll grab it from Blacklisted News and Washington's blog. U.S. public relations firm Edelman polled 33,000 people in 28 countries and found that people trust search engine results more than any other media. And you can see these graphics here, and they've been turned into graphics to make it easier to kind of check out the data. And traditional media kind of takes the dive, a pretty steep dive in some ways, as it's a slow and steady build for search engines. I also like to note how social media has also begun to take a dive there as well. And there are other charts and graphs and things that sort of discuss the inversion of influence and the way the sort of top-down changes from the way it's been going. So we'll include those graphics and you can check out some of those right now. But I don't think it's really good news. We're going to call this segment, it's the hashtag not unmitigated good news. So this might sound like good news, and we've reported for many, many years here that people are turning to online media and turning off dinosaur media. But we have to know that NSA, GCHQ all massively manipulate the web. They make websites artificially popular and others less so, and they spread their influence and promote agendas. And everyone obtains different search engine results, even if they run the kind of the exact same words and even in the exact same orders. For example, Google gathers information across all of its platforms and personalizes search engine results based on what you've looked for in past searches. So they're not totally objective. They're based on your past expressions of interest. And I don't know if we went into it in depth here, James, but we'll include a flashback link. From August of last year, Wired had the story first, and you can see all the other news agencies followed in suit, Google's search algorithm could steal the presidency. So although we again may look at this and say, yes, people are turning off traditional media and getting their own information, it does come with quite a big caveat there, James.
Yeah, you're exactly right about that. I mean, yes, it's great. People are turning online. It is not so great the types of things they're going to find if they search, you know, on one of these controlled platforms. And I mean, we've known. I mean, Google has been NSA adjunct since the very beginning, one way or another. And it's just the process of consolidating that power. So the question is, what's the real solution to this? I know there are independent media-minded search engines. And that's one, I mean, one thing that people should be looking at is those types of things. But they generally limit the website searched to the, you know, approved, verified independent media websites that are, you know, listed by that service. So I don't know. I think the best that we can do is to use a number of different search engines. Don't use the same search engine every time for every search. And if it's a very important search, use a number of different search engines to go against the consolidation of power in the hands of any one particular one to see what else you can get. But it's, we really do need a truly objective search engine and a powerful one. And that's not easy to do. It generally takes NSA-level coders and people with those kinds of programming skills. So, you know, if we could get a few of them on our side, that would be nice.
Well, and I hadn't really thought of it before until you were just talking. In some ways, it's maybe just as, you know, you always heard the saying, oh, get a second opinion. Like, oh, but it's a doctor. Yeah, but you might want a second opinion. You're trying to find out information to help you live your life bigger and stronger and better. So why would you take that chance with just maybe one bit of advice or results or prognosis, if you will? So that's not unmitigated good news next week, James. However, third episode of my new spinoff series from right here, Good News Next Week, Positive Polls, Liberty-Minded Librarians, and Walmart Closings. That's on my YouTube channel at Media Monarchy, and it's been really fun and really heartening, the amount of praise, actually, and just sort of pats on the back and thanks. I love seeing all the comments of, obviously, there's a need for good news, and you see when you start to put it out there that people are really receptive to it. So good news ideas can be submitted using hashtag good news next week. And of course, the classic new world next week. A couple of updates for you. Canada's new hope and change is, gasp, a lie. Monsanto works hard to evict Argentinian protesters. And the story you aren't being told about Iran capturing those two American vessels. Now, one last deprogramming note, James. I'm going to be off next week because we are moving, but I remind people actually to check out all the new media coming out on a daily basis from MediaMonarchy.com, like my new interview with Brent DeBoer of the Dandy Warhols, who watches this show and is a big, huge Corbett Report fan. James, in our interview, he actually mentions a song from his other band called Immigrant Union, and it's a song called War is Peace. He said it was inspired by your work, James, and he wanted me to pass it along to you, but I'm passing it along to everybody because I think that's ultimately what this is all about. So I thank you.
Wow, that is excellent. Well, I didn't even know that. Well, thank you for sharing that. And well, thank you to everyone who's listening who takes this information and runs with it in whatever way applies to your life. Use your skills and talents to get this word out to other people in any way you can. Hats off to everyone who's doing that. So awesome. That is a good news note to end things on. And as you say, we'll be taking next week off, but we'll be back in 2 weeks' time to continue doing it again.
All right, man. Thanks. Take care.
Take care.